Hey everyone, Andy here. Welcome to the Message Podcast this week. Bridgepoint's mission is helping people, all people, get closer to God. In today's message, Tyler uses a rarely taught passage of scripture to show us three ways that we can look at all people.
All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How are we doing? Everybody feeling good? Hey, on all campuses, obviously the Tyrone crowd, those of you watching online, downtown, Seminole, our Clearwater folks spread around, welcome home. This is week three of our series, Welcome Home. We've been walking through the mission of the church. If you've missed any of it, you can catch up on YouTube afterwards, anytime. You can catch up on the Bridgepoint podcast. Listen to those messages, let them encourage you. If they're encouraging to you, if they're helpful, share them. Get the word out about who we are as a church. This series has kind of been walking through the mission of our church, kind of what we aim to be. We want to be a place that the loudest resounding message we put out is welcome home. And maybe that's what you needed to hear above everything else. Maybe you're new, if you're checking things out for the first time. We've had lots of first-time folks every single week for the past month on all of our campuses. And maybe what you need to know is we're going to aim to say welcome home to you, to make this place feel like home. That's the mission. Our mission at Bridgepoint, what we're all about, it's what we've been talking about. Bridgepoint Church exists to help people, all people, get closer to God. How do we do that? By believing in Jesus, living his teachings, and becoming his people. One thing we're going to do above every single thing else is root all that we are and all that we do and all that we become in who Jesus is and the plans that he has for us, because we think there is the best for us. It's the most hopeful for us. It's something that this world can't offer us. It's a mission and a calling that's even bigger. That's why we're all about today. Specifically, I want to talk about all people. That's an interesting line in our mission, helping people, all people, get closer to God. And just so everybody knows, the mission of Bridgepoint, when it was planted some 16 years ago, was helping people to get closer to God. All people has been our focus from the beginning. It's still our mission today. It's what we want to aim for. It's who we want to be. It's how we want to live. And yet we often have folks that are saying, well, what do you mean by all people? Well, we mean all people. That's what we mean. It's what we're aiming at. And for some of us, honestly, it's going to boil down to how you look at it. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because sometimes things aren't always as they seem. Sometimes it takes a second look or a third look to really understand what's going on. Sometimes it takes the willingness to say, God, will you help me to see it? Some of you walking in today with heavy hearts or heavy minds and heavy thoughts, maybe some anxiousness, nervousness, fear. Maybe you're walking in today and you're feeling really good. It's been a great week. Things have gone your way. Maybe you're somewhere in between. And today, here's what I want to invite everybody that's hearing this message. Would you look for God at work in this space? All of us, all campuses, would you be looking for God at work? Because this is a message for all people, for me and for you. And maybe you're new to faith, or maybe you're not sure if this faith thing is for you or if it matters. Maybe you're trying to figure it all out yourself. You're in the right place, tuning into the right message, because this is a message for all people. Will you look for it? Will you look for God at work with me today? Again, it may not look like what you're expecting. Maybe you're sitting in the seat or sitting wherever you're sitting, hearing that, saying, well, I don't know what it means to look for God at work. Again, sometimes when you look at something the wrong way or with the wrong perspective, you'll miss the point. Here's what I mean. Let me give you a couple examples. When you see this person, what comes to your mind? When you see that, are you thinking, man, is that the face of kidney stones? I've never had them personally, but when you see that, you think, man, this is someone that's crying out for help. Like, do I need to call an ambulance for this man? Is he well? Is he well in mind and body? He's in agony, clearly. Like, this isn't somebody I would approach and just say, hey, how you doing? Because probably the response isn't, I'm good, thanks for asking, right? You see something like that, what do you see? Or how about this man? What comes to mind? You think, well, that's the face of a heart attack. Like, I know the symptoms. I know what to be looking for. And when you clutch the tightness of the chest, I've never had a heart attack, but I just imagine that when the face gets that hideous looking and it's so tense inside, then again, maybe it brings up questions of, do all of our campuses have AEDs on them? This is the moment of what it looks like to say, we need to locate those. Like, this man needs something. Or what about when you see this man? What comes to mind? Do you think that's clearly somebody that went to high school in Alabama? Is that what you think? Like, that's what I think. I feel for a person like that. I feel for what's going on inside. And if you looked at all of those pictures and had similar thoughts to I do, again, on the surface level, you read lots of concern. Maybe some of you today are suddenly like, wait, why am I here? Do I really want to sit through something that this guy has to say? And here's what I want to encourage you. Are you looking at the photos right? Because we saw potentially kidney stones, heart attack, and Alabama education at work. But really what you were looking at is the face of somebody that was probably bringing one of the best messages you've ever heard in your life. Amen? I'm sorry, again, for clarity. What you are looking at is the face of somebody that's given one of the best messages you've ever heard. Amen? Yeah. It's all about how you look for it. I'm so thankful for a humble team around me that keeps an abnormally large head from becoming a big head because they keep things like this. There's no good way to get a photo when you're preaching because your hands are moving and your mouth's moving and it all comes out looking disastrous. But it's all in how you look at it. It's all in your perspective. So back to my question that I want to process with us today is, who is all people? Like when it's in the mission of the church, what does Bridgepoint mean when it says that it exists to help people? All people get closer to God. Who is all people? I actually want to process a passage of scripture today that I've never spoken in front of people before. I've read it a few times. I'll be curious if anyone tuning in, you can feel free to give me the feedback. Have you heard a message on this passage before? It's really interesting, really fascinating. And it actually, in this message, you'll hear three different perspectives on what it means to look at all people. And that's why I wanted to process it with you today. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you have them on your phone, you can pull those out, turn there. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. A little background for you while you're pulling it up. I'll put it on the screen in just a minute. Luke was a physician back in Jesus's day. So he was a doctor, which meant he was meticulous. If you could trust someone with details, you'd want it to be the doctors. You want them to know exactly what they were experiencing and encountering, because back in that day, obviously science wasn't what it is today. Luke was a physician. So as he's recording the stories he's heard and the experiences he's had with Jesus, he's being meticulous with the details. Everything that's going to matter for people to want to know about how Jesus lived his life, Luke's recording that. He's recording his experiences. So as we read this passage, I want you to know from the framework, like, this isn't just a random story from a random book. Now, this is the book of Luke in the Bible, and it's actually a historical account of Jesus recorded by a meticulous man named Luke. That's the perspective I want you to have today. So as we read through it, I want you dialed in on what are the three ways to look at all people, but also through the lens of, I wonder what Luke wanted me to know as he recorded this. Luke chapter 9, so just for perspective's sake, the book of Luke, it's in chapter 9, that's the big numbers. The small numbers are 51 through 56. ESV is the translation, English Standard Version. Luke, Mr. Meticulous Physician, records it this way. when the days drew near for him, he's writing about Jesus, to be taken up. Luke knows he wrote this after Jesus had died on the cross as payment, punishment for sin, after Jesus had been stuck in a tomb, buried because it took his life, and after Jesus rose from the grave and revealed himself to other witnesses, Luke was writing this. So when the days drew near for Jesus to be crucified, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive Jesus because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And then it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. You see the power in this passage? Anybody heard this one before? Have you read this? Have you studied this? Even folks that have been around church for a while, this may not be the most familiar story that you've read. And I think within that comes the power of perspective. Three ways for us to look at all people. And that's what I want to process today. The first way from this passage that I want you to be able to see was that Jesus looked at all people through mission. Jesus looked through mission. And quite honestly, whatever brings you in to caused you to tune in to a Bridgepoint message today, this is one of the most hopeful things that I can offer you. Again, make sure your perspective is right. Make sure you're seeing and willing to see the full picture of what that means. But Jesus in this passage was viewing all people through mission. This is a powerful moment. I want to make sure you don't miss it. In fact, the very first thing this passage that we're reading today that the meticulous Luke recorded was in verse 51. And when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he locked in. He made the purpose so clear. He had his focus dialed in like there was no stopping him. This was a king on a mission with a purpose that this world, while they fully couldn't understand, knew they needed what this king was doing. And Jesus was not to be thwarted from this plan. He was locked in on Jerusalem. He was dialed in. He was in command. He was in control. He was not going to be knocked off his course. Jesus was thinking all people through the lens of mission. Well, what's so special about Jerusalem? Like, why was his face set to go to Jerusalem? A little backstory to add the perspective here. Jerusalem for Jesus was the space that his mission would come to its fullest fruition, because it's in Jerusalem that he was crucified. It's in Jerusalem that they would take his lifeless body off the cross and bury it just outside of that space. Jesus knew that the purpose from which God the Father had sent him, the plan to be able to offer saving help to all of humanity, the plan was going to reach its fulfillment in Jerusalem. The time was drawing near. Jesus had trained. He was ready. He was locked in, and the time was getting close. So Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. And don't miss the power of what that means. This was God in human flesh. This was creator of all things that put on skin, creator that became creation so that he could execute his mission. Meaning, as Jesus was looking towards Jerusalem, Jesus knew what was waiting for him there. He knew that his death was imminent, and he knew that the death he would face would be to the most extreme, because sin must be punished in its fullest extreme. Jesus was going to take that, which means as Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, the way he was looking at it wasn't just the look of direction towards Jerusalem. Jesus in his mind saw the perspective of what Jerusalem represented. And I wonder if there was part of the steps that he took towards Jerusalem where he was thinking about me, a broken, sinful man, thinking about you, sinful people, imperfect, got it wrong, can't meet the standard we were called to live up towards by God. The Bible specifically says that everyone has fallen short of that standard. And Jesus, knowing the imperfection and knowing the brokenness that existed then, that it existed since Adam and Eve introduced sin and that would exist all the way up to our day and into our tomorrows, Jesus, in light of all that, set his face toward Jerusalem. He was locked in. But here's why this is so important. Because for far too many of us, the belief that Jesus died on the cross or the belief that there's resurrection, even if we can get to that place, it sounds good. We recognize a need for a savior, but it's the belief that, is it possible that that could really be for me? Because my story is so messed up. I'm such a sinner. I'm such a broken person. I'm so imperfect. Like, it sounds good and I want to believe it, but could that saving be for someone like me? And I need to remind you of the full perspective and the way you have to look at this. Jesus looked at all people through the lens of mission. And need I remind you what the mission was? Let me take you back to John 3:16. It's a paraphrase in the Message. I want you to hear the mission that Jesus was on. It says, this is how much God loved the world. The world. God loved the world. It's not a planet. It's the people that populate it. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son. God the Father gave Jesus, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. That sin that eats away at us, the sin that causes death on the inside, the sin that causes us to miss out on the goodness of God and being in the presence of a good and loving God forever. No one need to be destroyed by the sin that exists in us. But by believing in him, by believing in Jesus, anyone, can have a whole and lasting life. And John, the writer of the Gospel of John, doubles down on this by saying God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger. Please don't be tuning in today feeling like God just is pointing accusing fingers at you, telling the world how bad it was. That's not why Jesus came. Instead, Jesus came to help. That's why we talked about last week that we want to be a helping people. It's who we know Jesus to be. Jesus came to help, to put the world right again. And then again, it doubles down on it saying, anyone who trusts in him, anyone, all people who trust in him is acquitted, free from the guilt, the punishment, the penalty of our sin because of the work that Jesus has done. Anyone who refuses to trust him, they have long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. That's why life is so broken. It's why it's so empty. Because when we turn our backs on Jesus, when we don't experience and trust, believe in the mission that he called us, we're left to fend on our own, and our own is broken by sin. Why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. The mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus was not to come and point fingers at you. He wasn't coming to remind me of all the ways I've missed it and all the things that I've done that prove that I don't measure up. Instead, he was laser focused, his face was set towards Jerusalem, the fulfillment of the mission, so that, watch the power of how Paul, another writer that encountered Jesus and his life was changed. Look how Paul records Jesus's mission. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, this is for you, this is for me, this is for imperfect, sinful people. For our sake, God the Father made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin. The perfect Savior became my sin. It became your sin. When we believe, he took our sin upon him. For our sake, God the Father made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus, we, Not perfect people, not people with all the right answers, not people with easy, not difficult stories, but we, believing in Jesus, might become the righteousness of God. In other words, that when God looks at us, he's not looking at us to accuse, to condemn, to shame, or to make feel so guilty and locked down by our past, but instead, he would look at us through the lens of the blood of Jesus, and we would have right standing with God. God, listen, look for it. Keep your eyes open. Stay focused on the full perspective here. God, because of what Jesus has done for you and for me, God loves you. I don't know who needs to hear that today. I don't know who's been brought up thinking something different. I don't know who's so weighed down by shame and guilt today. But understand, God loves you. He wraps it up. This is, again, this is Paul that's writing these encouragements in the book of Romans. And he says, for everyone, all people who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hey, there's hope for you. Not that you and I will suddenly start getting it right enough to please God, but that God loved us enough in our wrong that he took the wrong upon himself and gave us his right, his salvation, rescue, hope, peace with God. There's three ways to look at all people. And the first is through the lens of mission, that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. But there's another way to view all people too that we have to acknowledge in moments like that, and that's the Samaritans looked away. They looked away from all people. And here's what I mean by that. Luke chapter 9, verse 53, it says, but the people, those are the Samaritans in the village in which Jesus was teaching, they did not receive Jesus because his face was set towards Jerusalem. You see, his teaching comes with the reality that to be the Savior and to be the rescuer, Jerusalem must be part of the story. In other words, the cross has to matter for us. There must be a moment in our lives where we've said, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. And it means laying down our hopes, our dreams, the things that are deeply personal about us, the things that we've used to identify who we are and what we are about. If we don't lay those down to take up the life Jesus offered, then we can't fully experience the trust in him, the salvation in him that he's offering. Because the Samaritans had a moment that they heard Jesus's teaching. And when it came to all people, they looked away from him. This is a couple of points really quickly. I just want to make sure you hear this, that we at Bridgepoint, we will be a church for all people, but understand, not all people will want to be for us. And that's okay. It's sad that someone would want to reject Jesus, but that doesn't thwart our mission because Jesus never took his eyes off Jerusalem. He didn't sit there and say, these people are rejecting on me. I'm throwing my hands up and giving up because now I don't know what to do. Because Jesus's mission was defined, it was clear, and all people meant for him that while some would reject him, others won't, and the mission towards the cross would stand. So please understand that as we move about this mission as a church, as we invite people to feel the power of what it means to hear the words at church of welcome home, some people won't want to be welcomed here, and that's okay. Some people don't prefer bald preachers. I don't know why. Some people won't find this place as a fit. Some people won't find a place to give of themselves here. Some people don't see this as their potential, and that's okay. It doesn't mean we're gonna stop being for them. But can I also remind you that some people will hear the cost of following Jesus? That it means laying down our lives to come alive to his? And they won't be interested in that. That doesn't mean we stop loving them. It doesn't mean we stop living out the mission. It means we stay focused on it. But can I just process one little caution in how the Samaritans looked away from this moment? I wonder how often someone is rejecting Christianity or rejecting Jesus simply because of their experiences with us. God, help us not be the reason someone doesn't want to follow you. God, please don't make us the reason someone looks away from you. We will be a church for all people, but the reality is not all people will want to believe in Jesus, live his teachings, and become his people. And while my heart aches for their souls, the reality is that God is still on a mission, and therefore so are we. Bridgepoint Church exists to help people. All people get closer to God by believing in Jesus, living his teachings, and becoming his people. We will stay focused on this, even if some are not interested. Jesus is the point, not our church, not the building, not the staff teams, not the worship styles. Jesus is the point. One more perspective. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page with it, that there were three ways to look at all people that meticulous Luke recorded in this passage. Jesus looked through the lens of mission. The Samaritans looked away, but then you have James and John who looked through emotion. Did you catch their response? Let me make sure this is totally set up, because this is mind-blowing to me. James and John were some of Jesus's disciples, okay? They were close followers. They knew his teachings. They knew his way of peace, of love, of mercy. They knew that he was introducing a new thing in a new way that would create new people filled with hope and purpose. They knew all of these things, all right? They were traveling with Jesus to this village of the Samaritans, and then even though they knew this, watch their response. Luke, as meticulous physician Luke records in chapter 9, verse 54. When the disciples, James and John, saw it, they saw the Samaritans not receiving Jesus, they said, like they're talking to Jesus. This blows my mind. They said, hey, Jesus, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Yeah, I think this is part of why this passage doesn't get preached this often. Can you just picture this? Like Jesus has just stood up. He's invited these people to say, please follow me. Follow what I'm doing. It's for love. It's for life. It's for purpose. And those people, the Samaritans, they didn't respond to Jesus. And so Jesus is like, all right, face set towards Jerusalem. We're heading to the next village. But before we go, hey, Jesus, wait. Real quick. James, my brother and I, we have an idea. Do you want us to like pray or something and see if we can't get like a beam of fire to rain down from heaven so we can murder them all? Like we'll stick it to them. They reject you, we'll reject them. Like we will do it. And I'm just thinking like, I know I do some stupid things, all right? I know as a pastor, I'm not perfect, but praise God at the level of stupidity for James and John. I only imagine them sitting in heaven in these moments thinking, Luke, why'd you have to put that in the book, man? You had the meticulous Luke, you had to record that part. It's mind-blowing to me, but can I paint just a quick picture? The Samaritan people, this was the town that James and John were willing to send fire to murder them. Those people and the Jewish people, Jesus was a Jew, many of his followers were Jews, they did not get along, and that's putting it lightly. And here's why. This is a caution, so everybody dial into this. The Samaritan people to the Jewish people, to James and John, they represented racial differences. They represented morality differences. They represented religious differences. They represented economic differences. They represented lifestyle differences. They represented mindset differences. These people were totally different than the Jews. And there's part of me when I read that James and John had the audacity to ask Jesus if they could burn it up. There's part of me that wonders, I wonder if it's because they were able to see Samaritans as those people. Because when it's somebody not like us, When it's somebody that doesn't look like us or act like us or talk like us, when it's somebody that rejects us or makes us feel some type of way, I wonder how often in our minds and in our hearts we'll view all people through the lens of our emotion. And I wonder how often our emotions would say, Jesus, would you just let me bring down fire? Now, just for clarity, I've never asked for that because I'm not confident I'd pull off a bolt of fire raining from heaven. But if I'm honest with you, Jesus actually clarified that murder isn't even the physical act of murder, but harboring hate in my heart is like murdering a brother. And Bridgepoint, believers, followers of Jesus, I wonder how many times we have, in essence, had the audacity to approach Jesus of saying, God, they're not worth it. That you don't want those people following you. They're beyond hope. They're beyond help. They're too different. They live on that part of town. They have these beliefs. They conduct themselves this way. They talk this way. They act this way. They do these things. And God, I just know, like, let's stay focused. The scripture reminds us that the very next thing was that Jesus, unthwarted from his mission to Jerusalem, it says he turned and rebuked them. And this is the moment that I'm like, maybe now Luke is protecting James and John, because I just imagine what a holy, healthy rebuke from Jesus on about image bearers made in his names, like the Samaritan people that they were willing to murder because they simply wouldn't follow. I'm thinking, well, that's probably a good call, Luke. Like, we didn't need to see that. But the moment that our emotions, our perspective, our beliefs allow us to diminish people, dismiss people, or see people as anything other than being made in the image of God makes it so much easier for us to limit what all people might mean. Here's what I mean. People are not problems. People are our purpose. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we'll try to see people as a problem that we can fix it. Oh, I'll fix it. I'll fix them. I'll handle this one, Jesus. As if we're not the very people that needed Jesus's purpose too. Hey, who are those people to you? Is it the Democrats, the Republicans? Is it people that work in that part of town, that have an office that high, that drive those kind of cars, that live in that type of place? The people that say those types of things, make those types of posts, who are those people that deep inside there's the part of our hearts that's willing to view them as a problem, as if somehow we're better than God in understanding who his children were created to be or not be, as if at some point we haven't been the very people that needed the mission of Jesus in our own lives too. So maybe a better question, instead of focusing on, well, I wanna ask what all people means to this church. I hope we've made that clear. Jesus's mission was for all people. Maybe the better question is, who is all people to you? Or are there people that you've allowed in your heart to see more as problem than purpose? More as, I'll fix it, than mission. Let me take you back to Paul. Paul, in his writings of 1 Corinthians, here's how he would answer the question of who is all people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the second half of verse 22 and 23, it says this. Paul wrote, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Paul doesn't do the saving. He means, I'm gonna do everything I can to point people to Jesus, to help them to know him and experience his love. I do it all. I'll do it all. I will serve. I will give. I will invite. I will show up. I'll be a part of it. I'll love. I'll go across the street. I'll go across town. I'll go through my cubicle. I'll go through my office. I'll go up to that person at Publix. I'll go into all parts. I'll do all the things, God, if you want me to do all the things. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what it means for us, that I may share with them in its blessings. See, the power of today, the power of this series, this invitation of welcome home. It's an invitation into a mission of belonging and becoming. And the power of this mission is in sharing in the blessings of God that he's done for us and for the world. So maybe it is time to say, you know what? It's time for me to invite somebody. It's time for me to grab a yard sign, to grab a car sticker, to do something that takes a step. It's time for me to share some of Bridgepoint's content on social media. It's time for me to plug in and serve. It's time for me to get in a group. It's time for me to do this thing. Because heaven help us that we ever get in a place where we could view those people as unworthy of the gospel. Those people as unworthy of sharing in the blessing. When we were those people, and praise God that while we were yet sinners, Jesus didn't say, I want to call down fire from heaven. His face was set towards Jerusalem. Would you pray with me? Jesus, in moments like this, will you make us so aware of two things? The first is, God, would you make us so aware of your mission that you, the perfect, sinless God in human flesh, was willing to die in my place, in our place, because of how much you loved us. God, that's mind-blowing. I hope we worship springing from the place of blessing that comes from what it's like to know you and to follow you. But God, number two, for just a few more moments, would you help us to be aware of your presence in this place? God, would you help us to see it, to sense it, to know that it's real and that it's for us, that we belong. And in that space, God, would you help us to feel the power of what it means to be able to be welcomed home? Thank you, Jesus, for what that means. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
So take a minute to think about it. Who are all people or those people to you? Each of us are included in all people. So one final question to consider. Is it possible you are those people for someone else? If so, how can you start to bridge that relationship? Thanks so much for listening today. Please make sure you are following us on social media at BridgepointFL to stay connected all week. Have a great week, everyone.